Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends, your friends. Imam Shabazz. Okay, let's see. Switch boards. Let's see here. Let's give Imam Shaheed Shabazz a call. And let's give Imam Shaheed Shabazz a call. 413-4521.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Imam Shaheed Shabazz. You're live on the talk show. I called in to you because for some reason I couldn't pick you up. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. You are live.
You need
on...
me.
Yeah, you're live.
I'm live on. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to greet my beloved listening audience. And the greetings of peace from the Creator of peace, Allah, our Creator. And next, I just want to say to you all, we give all praises to Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who have brought us back to life this day after he have imposed upon us a state next to death. Truly, unto Allah is the final resurrection. So, with that said, we're going to the topic. You know, people, death is something that most people don't want in this world. They don't want to leave this world. They even talk, and they talk about God, a lot of them, in all religions, Islam, all of them. They talk about God and they talk about heaven. I want to go to heaven. And it's a sin And it's a God, a saying of Allah. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So what do that tell you? Just like with this coronavirus going around, the disease. Okay, so what? It's other diseases that's already out here anyway. And, you know, like a young man told me last night, a Caucasian young man, and I loved talking to him. He said, the government got some big plot, a scheme, and they just using this virus as a distraction so the people's mind won't be turned in the direction where they get ready to do the most evil to the people. This is an evil government. It's no doubt about it. And the government is a government of hypocrisy. It's not a government. It's supposed to be, by Allah's decree, a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Instead, it's a government for a few evil people, against the masses of people. In all countries in the world, it's the same way. So why panic people buying all this toilet paper, cleaning the stores out of all the water? I'm going around to all the stores down here where I stay in Winston-Salem and Kernersville, North Carolina, and they're just buying up stuff like they're going to be saved just because they got toilet paper. They're buying up a lot of food. And they don't realize, and this is so important to understand, who's keeping you alive right now? It's Allah, the Creator. He's not only our Creator, He's our Sustainer. So nothing can sustain you. If Allah wants you to die, you get all the toilet paper you want. Continue to get all the water. See, and this is the thing I want to say to people. Most people fear death because of the life they live in. Most people are living a life of sin and evil. They are following their own false, ungodly desires. And this is where diseases come from. If you study history, Allah never brought plagues and diseases on people. They brought it on themselves because they chose to live an ungodly life, to follow their own evil will, our ways, and reject the good way, the good ways of Allah, their Creator. So this ain't nothing new. And for anybody that's got true faith in the Creator, Allah, they will not be panicking. This will not be no pandemonium for them. No. Allah controls everything. Allah say, if He want to put something on you, illness or affliction, He can do it, and He say nobody can take it off you but Allah, if He chooses to do so. So instead of you panicking, people, you need to learn that this is a sign, one of the final signs that our Creator is letting you know you're down here committing all these sins and playing this hypocrisy with religion, and He's not pleased with you. But this is also a bigger warning. I understand now. I stand to be corrected. I understand that this disease is affecting and killing more so-called white people than it is black people. But you remember, a lot of you, that back in the days here in this country, slavery and coming through slavery, they gave black people syphilis, gonorrhea. They experimented on us with diseases like guinea pigs. Also, they gave us the AIDS also. AIDS didn't come from no homosexuality. AIDS came from the European, the Jew, and the ungodly European are coming up with a formula to destroy the majority of the people of color all over the planet Earth. But especially in America, the black man and woman of America, because there's something special about us. And even most of us don't even know it. And that's what's special, what I'm talking about, that is special about us. We didn't go through this five hell of slavery and all that was some of the most horrific things, and they still doing it to us for nothing. Allah said in the Quran, whenever he allowed all people to go through these type of atrocities and this type of horrific treatment, he said he's doing that to raise them up and take them out of that condition so that they will know his goodness, and when he do so, they will be leaders in faith, lead other peoples out of evil and back to his goodness and his righteousness. So with that said, that's enough for me to say, to give somebody else an opportunity to comment on this coronavirus, and that people are, most people in America especially, are panicking over and acting like the bubonic plague or something doesn't hit us, you know. And we've been had diseases out here. You got people walking around out here with diseases all the time. All the time. Because they're in the sin. And they got diseases, and, you know, we know this. So why they blow it up their age, and now they got another disease that they can blow up and try to frighten the people. So the whole thing is fear. Evil wants the people to fear it, evil. And then evil don't have no power. But evil know if it can get people to fear it, it can destroy the people. But evil know as long as people is taqwa, conscious of their creator, submitting to his power, and he have all power, evil cannot touch them at any time. No matter what disease or what the creator allowed to happen, like the World Trade Towers being blown up and everything. It's a lot that's going on all over the world in terms of evil, because most people have chosen to live an evil lifestyle rather than a godly lifestyle. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. This is Imam Shahid Shabazz show, Reality of the Creator. I am your guest host today, Abdul Kareem. And today's title is Most People Fear Death Because of Their Evil. And that is Imam Shahid Shabazz. It just dropped on us a whole lot of different avenues, but most of them is because of this virus. A lot of people are looking at death, you know, like they weren't looking at it before. And that's what these things do. They bring the reality to the forefront. And Allah has a wonderful way of just being able to just slow everybody down and make them remember who's in charge. Because like Imam Shahid Shabazz said, if death is meant for you, you couldn't hide from it under all the toilet tissue you could purchase at Walmart or Target or any Costco or any of the other stores. You couldn't hide from it under any steel bunker or any shed. If death is meant for you, it's coming for you. And Allah, the Creator, is in charge. He's in charge, and He'll bring us back to His remembrance. And alhamdulillah, we appreciate the, you know, the reminder. And we just know, especially as Muslims, what this reminder is supposed to do. Okay, it's supposed to bring us back to our Lord. So these type of things, when they happen to us as Muslims, we know it's just a reminder for us to remember Allah more. I asked Imam Shahid Shabazz, I think it was Friday. He said, how you doing, brother? He said, alhamdulillah. Of course, he mentioned Allah and his messenger. And he said, I'm doing the things that are in the sunnah. Black seed, oil, you know, all the things that that were prescribed in the sunnah to make you healthy. You do those first, because we know that our only salvation, our real truth, our real success is in following what our Lord wants us to do. And we have a whole lot of guests on the show. So I'd like to maybe take the opportunity to just punch on one or two of these numbers and see if anyone has anything to say. The first, one of the first people to sign in was at a 313 area code. And the number ends with 1273. Let me take this opportunity to ask what's your name and where you're calling from and see if you have any comments. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? Caller at the 12-1273. Are you there? No?
Hey. Okay. Brother Kareem, they use the listener, and I'm pretty familiar with the numbers, and I know who that is, and they just prefer to listen.
Okay, okay. And the other one from the 316, I think last week they preferred to listen also. The 2640, I think that's a number that preferred to listen also.
That's right.
All right. And I'm going to try one other one just to make sure I got everything right today, because I actually called in to the host to get you on. I just want to make sure that everyone could hear, and I'm assuming they are because they've been on here for a while. I got another 313 area code that ends in 3152. Are you there? Caller.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm here,
but I just
tuned in, so I have no comments.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I'm just so glad that you could actually hear us and we could hear you. Sometimes I have some technical difficulties with the show, but it looks like we've got it on properly, and thank you for listening. And we hope that you, if you have questions later, we'll ping into you. And I believe if you're listening also, you can hit number one, and it'll show up on my on the keyboard here as that you have a question. So we'll continue, because the other callers are pretty new also. They're after you if you just came on. So the topic of the show, of course, is most people fear death because of their evil. And Imam Shahid Shabazz, I just wanted to maybe ask a few questions just that came to mind when you were going over the topic with me. I just wanted to go as far as the plague or this virus. I know we're calling it a virus, but once it reaches pandemic stages, which means it's going all over the world, they pretty much call it a plague. And I know there's a hadith from Aisha, who's the prophet's wife, and she asked the prophet about a plague, because they had a plague that took over back then. And he said it was a punishment for people that Allah sends to whom he wills. Allah sends to whom he wills. And these things can be a punishment for one person, and then the very next person, it could be a blessing for them. And for Muslims, or for us as believers, all these things have good in them. All these things have good in them. So I'm asking you, as far as this coronavirus, what are some of the good and some of the evils that we can garner from this? And as Muslims, how should we understand the good in something as scary as this pandemic that we're experiencing that they're calling the coronavirus?
Okay, you asked me that question?
Yes, Imam. I was asking you what are some of the good and what are some of the evil that we could get from this COVID-19 virus that we have going around.
Okay, thank you very much, brother. I'll attempt to answer that in the name of Allah. He's all-knowing. I know nothing except the knowledge of Allah. And so we'll go from there to the Quran. Allah created, Allah said in the Holy Quran, his final revelation, Allah said he created the nature of good in people. And Allah said he created the nature of good in all creation. And history repeats itself. So if you study the Quran, the Holy Quran, the word of Almighty Allah, he is the history. He began history. And Allah is the one that's going to end history. So what you just said about that hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so true about all of the prophets and messengers. We ain't living in no new time. The only thing that have changed since Allah sent the first prophet, I think, Noah, Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, is time. Most people have not changed. Allah sent that man to warn people against their evils and their sins, and he did this for 950 years. And at the end of 950 years, each generation of people, the majority of the people, they just ignored that man's signs. He told them Allah said he was going to destroy the world of evil through rain. They are, man, you crazy. It don't rain over here. You know, that's what you saying, you know. We don't want to hear that stuff. And so he, the man, he finally, Allah told him, after 950 years, look, stop. These people are not going to accept faith in me. They love this world, and that's all they want is this world. And so they were destroyed. And Allah said after he destroyed the world in the beginning with Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, he said from that time until he end this world, destroy this world, he will always come once evil, the people and the majority of the people get into an evil way of living. And he would come, and he said he would give them many, many signs because he's so merciful. And I say that this is a sign for all people, of course, yes, but it's a sign for the people who don't really know their creator more than the ones that know their creator. It is a sign from the creator to let them know, as you said earlier, that I am in control. I control what's going to happen. Because most people look to doctors to cure them, like the doctors can cure them if they get ill. Most people depend on herbs. Herbs can't even hear you. Natural herbs, if Allah don't bless them herb to hear you, because the power ain't in what Allah created. The power is all in the Creator. So this is what he's calling the people's attention, you know, to understand and recognize that he is tired of their evil. And Allah say, he's not bringing evil on the people. He never have, even from the beginning of time. It's the people that's bringing evil and plagues and diseases on themselves by what? Living a sinful lifestyle, a selfish lifestyle and sinful lifestyle. So Allah says in the Holy Quran, and I'll conclude for now, he said the end of good is good. And he said the end of evil is evil. And Allah say also say in the Holy Quran, listen carefully if you will, HEARTS, hearts, do find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah, the Creator. And most people are trying to find satisfaction in all types of wickedness. And sin. But that's most people Allah say. And we see it. This is an epidemic, as the brother said, a proportion to the extent. It ain't just for the America or no one race. Because to be honest, it ain't but one race. That's the human race. Allah didn't name us black, white, Chinese, yellow, pink, blue. He didn't give us no colors. He said, I created you as a human being. And he said, you're not human unless you accept to follow his guidance, his truth, his spirituality. And then you come into your human life, which is spiritual life. And that's in my conclusion, like the saying goes, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. So what's up with that, people? If you want to go to heaven, you're going to die anyway. But to go to heaven, that ain't no guarantee. You got to live a good life. You got to stay away from immorality. You got to turn away from sin now, not tomorrow. Because you know what? The next breath, Allah ain't got to take you with no coronavirus. He can cut your, take the life out of you right now as I talk on the phone, and even me. So we should fear death, and also Allah say there's a hell fire waiting on you after what's called the resurrection and judgment day if you continue to live your life in sin. And he's already showing you what sin brings on you here and the diseases and all the catastrophe But then it's, he said it's nothing compared after your judgment if you have to go to the hell fire. That's going to be forever. And if you read the Holy Quran, it will put fear in your hearts like it's got fear in my hearts, not to want any parts of the hell fire, people. So this is a final warning of our Creator to all of us that, hey, come back to me now, because he's doing a lot of other things, too, to show you that he's tired of this evil and on this earth. He created this world good. And we as human beings, following our own selfish will, we turned this world into a hell. We did it. And it ain't going to change by itself. And Allah say this in my conclusion. He said he never will change the condition, bad conditions of a people, until they first change the bad intentions in their heart. Stop desiring things, material things, and start desiring to use all that you got to please your Creator. And Allah say he'll give you heaven on earth. We won't see all this killing. We won't see all of this child molesting, all these sinful, evil, wicked things that even in this government, I knew that much more was to come by way of diseases when they legalized same-sex marriage. The United States of America, when President Obama was in there. So y'all ain't seen nothing yet, people. This is a warning. I'm a warner. I'm a witness, Shahid, or mean the witness of Allah, the Creator, and I'm a warner also. So this is a final warning for you people. You need to get if you ain't got your Creator in your life and you ain't trying to live a good life, ain't no corona, nothing. Any evil might overtake you. Because Allah say the evil results of this generation, the 21st century, he said the evil results in the past came back on the people. Their own evil came back. You reap what you sow and destroyed them. And he said the evil results of the people's evil deeds in this generation going to soon come back and destroy them too. And that's what's happening. I hope I answered that sufficiently.
Alhamdulillah. 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 Again, we are listening to the reality of the Creator. This is the podcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, and I am the co-host, Abdul Kareem. And Imam, you of course, you answered it in your way, but you answered more than the question. So, you know, I'm just trying to keep up and take some notes, you know, because, you know, when you talk about something as profound as death to anyone who's a believer, you know, you're going to have their ear. And, you know, there's not a subject or something that we could take lightly at all, because I think what most people, and that was the next question I was going to bring up, is that, you know, what is death to most people, you know, as kids, when we're just kids, you know, and some people still think it as adults, that death, everything is over. You're not accountable. You know, there's nothing you have to account for. It's just like you disappear like a cartoon character, you know, or some.
That's
video
right.
Game,
or that you. That's just, right.
Just over it and nothing. But we as believers, and anybody who believes in the last day, knows that death is just a door that's going to open for your next phase. And that's what people fear. When you first told me this topic of most people fear death, is I think they fear that accountability. We fear the accountability. We fear that we're not prepared to meet our Lord. We're not prepared to meet our Creator. We're not prepared to meet the Haq, the truth of everything that we've done that's written in our books throughout our life. So people fear death. They fear that. We know what's right in front of us. You're sitting down, you're in a chair, there's a table in front of you. You know what's right in front of you, but you don't know what's outside. You don't know what that door, when it opens, what it's going to be. So I think the reality of death is not that, you know, people think, you know, are still thinking like children that we're not accountable, because we as Muslims know that we're accountable. I think it's the fact that we are going to be accountable, that we have to face our Creator and answer for all these evil deeds that you're talking about and answer for them. And that's what we're terrified about, is having to answer at the end of our life everything we did while we were here living. And we know as Muslims that death really just starts that next chapter. And you know, in our case, in our time, the Prophet Muhammad's time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, you know, our life and death usually goes anywhere from, you know, 20, 30, 80, 90 years. You know, somebody who lives over 100 is a big deal, is rare, you know, 102.
That's right. That's right.
Rare. But like you mentioned, in the Prophet Noah's time, it was 900 plus years, 900 years, 950 years. And Allah knows if we die evil now after 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, then we would have still died evil if he gave us 800, 900, 1,000 years. Because Allah,
that's right,
he already has showed it to us. That's why he let other prophets and messengers go through these things. So we, as the last generation, we got the last prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. We got the last book that anybody's ever going to get from Allah, from God, the Quran. We got the last of everything. So we have all the examples. All the examples before us. Not to go to something very trivial, but there's this show that my wife likes to watch where they, you know, they climb these walls and they jump over these ninja warrior, something like that. And the first person that goes is always kind of like the slowest because, you know, they don't know how to run across this obstacle and how to hang on this obstacle and how to use to get across to the next thing, how to climb this rope. Ladder, you know, and then when they get further and further down, people develop different techniques and the times get shorter and shorter to complete the course. And then they come up with a whole new course. So we're on the last course. All right. Allah has showed us before. If you evil now and you don't want to change your ways, I can let you live for 200, 300, 1,000 years. You're still not going to change your ways. So don't be upset if I take you when you're 40 and don't be upset if I take you when you're 80. Don't be upset if I take you when you 850, because I let nations before you live, and Allah already knows what it would be like if we lived that long and what it would be like if we lived that short, because Allah is all-knowing. So he knows,
that's right,
everything, things that we couldn't even imagine, what would have happened if, and all those things, Allah already knows that. So he gives us a shorter period of time because we had a whole lot of examples before us. We had nations and generations,
that's
much
right,
more powerful than the United States, much more powerful than,
yes,
others, completely destroyed because they were ignorant or not willing to obey the rules of God, the creator of the
heavens. That's right.
And
that's right.
Much more powerful. The people of Pharaoh, huge people.
That's right.
The people of Mahmoud, the odd people. We are told about these people throughout Quran. And I'm going to end with this verse from Quran from Abraham, who is the father of all the monotheistic faiths, which include Christianity, which include Judaism, which of course includes our deen of al-Islam, the monotheistic religion of Islam. And Allah says in the Quran, and this is just a translation by one of the translators, "Have you not looked at him who disputed with Abraham about his Lord, because Allah had given him the kingdom? When Abraham said to him, 'My Lord is he who gives life and causes death.' And then this king said, 'He can give life and he can cause death.' And Abraham just ignored that. Abraham said, 'Verily, Allah brings the sun from the east and makes it set in the west. Then bring it for you from the west, so that it can set in the east.' And the disbelievers were utterly defeated, and Allah guides not the people who are the wrongdoers." And this was,
that's right,
when, alhamdulillah, and Abraham was talking to a king who wanted to take his wife from him. And this king was saying that he's so powerful that he could. Abraham said, "No, I don't worship you. You're not God." The guy said, "No, I'm God." And Abraham said, "My God gives life and causes death." And this king, because he was a powerful ruler, he called two people from the prison that were locked up in the prison, "Bring them here." And he said, "Kill that one and let this one live." And then he turned to Abraham and said, "See, I can give life and cause death." And Abraham just ignored that ignorant episode and said to him, "My Lord makes the sun rise from the east and set in the west. if you God, you make it rise from the west and set in the east. And he stood there and he looked stupid. So we know who our creator is. We know who the real Lord of the world is. And Imam Shahid, if you don't, you know, have anything else immediately that you wanted to say, I was going to maybe bring on one or two of these callers just to see if they had any questions, if that's okay.
Please, that's fine. Absolutely fine.
All right, all right. Let's see. I went through those there. I'm going to try to bring on a caller, and you could tell me if this is a number maybe that may not want to speak. It's from a 919 area code, and it ends with 2678.
Yes, I think that brother is from Durham, my home city, and
okay.
I think this brother possibly want to come on.
May want to come on. Hello, caller. What's your name and where you calling from? Are you there? Okay. He may just be listening then at this time. But I know
okay.
He's working. He had the other sister come on. So I'm going to
right.
mute brother. And then we have a 301. This person has not been on that long. But 301 area code, it ends with 3381. Let me just see if what's your name and where you calling from, caller?
Shalom Aleikum, yes.
Wa Aleikum Salaam,
Mr. Islam. Don't there, huh? And yeah, I said, well, I got to get them broken and listen to this, nothing more. Yeah, I'm still in rehab here. But I'm doing a lot. And you're doing a beautiful job to remind me people of the time it is, why things are happening as they're happening. So may Allah continue to bless you to bring the message to the people.
Alhamdulillah. We need you back, sister. My technical skills are not up to yours. I'm just struggling through it.
That's great. Allah bless us the Lord, but you're just as good as I am. I'm really enjoying you.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Well, thank you, Sister Isla. It's a pleasure even hearing your voice. I know that you're recovering, and may Allah give you shifa, give you a cure, and bring you back healthier than you
That's
were
right.
before.
Amen. Absolutely. I mean.
So thank you, Sister. And, of course, if anyone needs to say anything or has a question or wants to come on, they can hit the number one. You know, there's plenty of callers on here, and I know some folks may not want to ask a question, and some folks may be interested in asking a question. So please feel free to just hit the number one on your button, but on your phone, and I think it should light up in a way where I could see that you want to, like you raised your hand or something, and then I could, put you on, and we could let the imam answer any question or, see which way he wants to take it. But so Imam Shabazz, we were talking, of course, the title of today's show is Most People Fear Death Because of Their Evil. And that comma there, that pause is a very important thing. Most people fear death because of their evil. So, people could fear death because no one knows, what's on the other side of that door. But when they know that they have evil on the other side of that door that they're accounted for, you fear going through that door more. You fear death more when you know nothing but your bad deeds are hanging out for you on the other side of that door. And everybody has evil deeds, Imam. And this just brings me to my next question. Everybody has evil deeds. Everybody. I mean, the person who's speaking and the person he's speaking to, the ears that these are ringing off of and the ears that they're coming from, everybody has evil deeds. So what are the steps? I mean, what as me, as someone who's trying to worship God the best he can, who believes in God, believes in the hereafter, and believes that he's going to be accountable, what are the steps and the precautions? What should I do that separates me from, that will help separate me from people that Allah is pleased with and people that Allah is not pleased with? Knowing that I have sins and shame and evil and things that I'm thoroughly wish never happened or I never did or never, happened to me or around me, what could I do as someone who fears God to get right with my Creator?
First of all, if you're finished, The first thing anyone can do if they fear to displease their creator, because the fear of the creator is the fear of him not protecting you from sin. He said he guides not the wrong the wrongdoers. So the first thing I would say, anybody that fear Allah, fear the Creator, that is your first step. In the Holy Quran, the final revelations of Allah, there's a chapter, a surah called Al-Mu'minun, the believers. And in that particular chapter, Allah goes on in some ayats of verses, and he say, the first thing he say for anybody, ain't no Muslim, Christian, or nothing, no names now, believer. He's describing the qualities of a believer in him. And he said the first quality of a believer in the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, he say they fear him. They fear to go against his will because they're bringing destruction on themselves. He say next, he say they believe in the unseen. Most people act like because they don't see the creator, their creator. They act like, and they act like because he don't punish them for every sin that they get in the way. We see that every day, that's a lie. So people need to learn if they want to be saved from the fire of hell in the next life, they should learn that even in this world, the punishment for sin comes in all kinds of ways. And that Allah say, the Creator say that, you know, don't die unless you die in a state or a condition where you're submitting your will to his will. Therefore, you don't have a will. Your will becomes his will, and you become a godly person. You become a person who is working for freedom, justice, and equality, good, and righteousness for all the people in your human family. And your intention has to be to please your creator. That's your protection. Allah say, or the creator say, the only protection a human being got from their own evil and the evil of Satan and the evil of this world is to fear Allah. It's to fear Allah. You have to have the fear of your creator in you. And I want to mention this too, because this is right on point too. The creator say, what think people of the day of judgment? In other words, what he's saying is that most people are continuously living an evil lifestyle. Like you said, Imam, as if though there ain't going to be no judgment day. After I die, that's it. I don't want to hear that stuff. They ain't got to say it out of their mouth, because you got a lot of them will say, oh, yeah, I believe in the resurrection day. A majority of them in religion and now, I believe in resurrection day. I believe a day when we're going to have to give an account for what we did here in this short time on earth. But look at their life. They're not showing it by preparing. And the way you prepare, like I said before, is first of all acknowledging that Allah, your creator, he created you in his likeness. Not image. You don't have no image. And his likeness is good. How? He created you good. He said he created the nature of good in every human heart, human being, when he put some of his ruh, spirit, in us. It raised us up above animal life, our animal life, and raised us up into our spiritual life. And so Allah say, in my conclusion, I hope I'm answering your question sufficiently. He says to the people that don't want to be destroyed by the hellfire, which it ain't going to never end, the destruction going to continue. He says, fear the fire also. He says that in the Quran, you must have the fear of the fire of hell. And you must truly believe in the unseen. Like I said, because I think you mentioned, alluded to it. Just because we don't see our creator, he see us. just because we say, don't nobody know this scheme or this evil intent I got to hurt these people, do harm to them. Well, the Creator, He knows what's in your heart intentions too. So you're not going to get away with evil even here in this world. Allah is showing us more now in these last and evil days that people, the end of your evil is going to be evil. And it ain't nothing compared to the evil after the resurrection and judgment day if your sentence is to go to the hellfire, in the hellfire. And I would like to say, please read the Quran, because that is your answer right there, and that is your only protection from evil in this world of yourself, evil of the Satan, or the evil spirit, one that hates all human beings, that people call the devil or Satan. Oh, yeah, he exists. All this evil, he's a instigator of people to get them to do this evil. And most people, he can only do that if you desire to please yourself and not desire to please your Creator. That's the only way evil can get you. So I just want to leave it right there. As-salamu alaykum. Amen.
Wa alaykum salam tu la barakatuh. Amen. That reminds me of a verse that you say all the time, and I hear it almost like it's a theme of this show, and that's in Surah Al-Imran, which is the third surah in Quran after Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185. And I hear you mention the theme of this all the time. And that verse, the meaning is translated as, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Everyone shall taste death, and only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, he indeed is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. And in parentheses it says, a deceiving thing. The enjoyment of this world is the life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception, a deceiving thing. And that verse,
that's right.
Because I've heard you mention that on many other shows, you know, that I've listened to with you and Sister Isla. And there's just this one verse in Quran that almost sums up the theme of what you're saying. Everyone shall taste death. I mean, it's unavoidable. You can't hide away from it. You can't bunker yourself down from it, whether you're going to live, you know, for 1 year or 1,000 years, everybody's going to taste death. And only on the day of resurrection shall we be paid our wages in full. Our wages that we look to be paid for in full is going to be our deeds. And if they're bad deeds, you're going to be paid with bad wages. Like you just said, the end of evil is going to be evil. You got nothing but evil wages, evil deeds, then, you know, may Allah protect us. And if you have good deeds, then alhamdulillah, that's a beautiful thing. And my, you know, with the question that you just answered, or, you know, you just put forth the evidence on, is that we all have evil deeds and we all have good deeds, but we want to have more deeds with the right intentions of good, of pleasing our Lord on our scale. And then maybe we can get the forgiveness of Allah, because Allah says it right there. And anything Allah says is the absolute truth. Anything else.
That's right.
Truth. Yeah. So yeah, we want the absolute truth. We got it in our final book and this translation, and only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. So those good deeds, they are going to count on the day of judgment. And those evil deeds are going to count against you. So you want to keep those to a minimum. And whosoever is removed away from the fire, that's the topic of the show. Most people fear death because of their evil deeds. And what they're fearing is this fire. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, that's the successful person. Not the person who has the biggest wheels on his car or has the biggest house or, you know, makes the most money. That's not the successful person. Whoever's admitted to the paradise is the successful person.
Yes.
And the life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. That is the, I would feel that's almost the topic of your program, the reality of the Creator. You get knee deep into this deception, the enjoyment of this world, and you get involved with that as something that's more important to you than pleasing your Creator, then guess what? You just made this world your God.
That's right.
You find, you know, the life, the enjoyment of this life more important than pleasing your Lord. You just made the enjoyment of this life your God, and you're worshiping it. Keeping up with the Joneses is your new salat, your new prayer. And that's a deceiving thing, a deceptive thing, and only the Shaitan is happy with that. And when you got the Shaitan happy, you could be pretty sure that Allah is nowhere near, you're nowhere near the pleasure of Allah. Because only the Shaitan is happy, because he knows and he refuses, you know, to follow Allah's command. So his goal is to take us all with him to the fire. So, you know, I only say that because that verse just rings so true when we talk about these topics. And we all know we're going to end. We just don't know how or where or what our circumstances are going to be. So we fear death, and people fear death because we have that evil. And some people just have more evil than others. But the beauty is, as Muslims, as believers, we turn to our Lord and we ask him to forgive us. And then we try purposely to do good deeds that he's pleased with, only for his sake, to overcompensate for all those evil, shameful, sinful times that we may have missed prayer, or that we may have indulged ourselves in something that we had no business. We could turn to our Lord and ask him to forgive us. And guess what? Allah will forgive. There's so many verses here. As many verses as talk about death, there's probably more to talk about Allah's forgiveness and how he stands ready to take many steps towards us because we take one step towards him.
That's exactly right.
Alhamdulillah. So, you know, I just wanted to bring that up, Imam, and see if there's I think this caller here has been on hold for a while, but they may have hung up and called back in. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 919 area code that ends in 2047. They've been there for a while. I just want to at least give them an opportunity. I know there's a few people that have been on listening. But I just want to touch everybody. If you don't want to say anything, of course, as the theme of the show, you never have to. You could, you know, just say hello and you can just listen. But we like to, you know, pick on you and, you know, see if you have a question. So this 919 area code ends in 2047. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum assalam. I'd like to give greetings to Almighty Allah, of course. Thanks to Almighty Allah for having the opportunity to listen in on the show. Of course, it's a great show. Brother doing a good job and hosting the show. I did hear Sister Isla come in. I certainly like to give my greetings and my blessings, my prayers, my thoughts, and ask Allah to give her a great and speedy recovery. Sister, stay strong. We love you. I certainly was pleased and glad to hear your voice as you came in on the show. But I've enjoyed listening to the show, so patiently I've been just listening and enjoying the show. So I will let you all continue on. I know there's not much time left, so I just want to give my greetings to you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Larry. This is one of our most beautiful brothers and one personally in my life, because we come out of the same city, and we came into Islam together about 40-some years ago. And Brother Larry and myself have kept in contact, and Brother Larry is a doer of good. He loves to do good, to help people. I think you may need to mute Brother Larry, not take him off, because I can hear some back noise in the background. I don't...
I did, alhamdulillah.
Okay, thank you. Because when I'm distracted, I can't focus, you know. But Brother Larry, we appreciate you, brother. And I was just as happy and shocked to hear Sister Isla voice. I had just been praying for her all day, time I was blessed to wake up. And I called her all day yesterday. And the main thing is that to keep people from the fire of hell is sincere faith. And Sister Isla done been through strokes other times, and I've been through stroke, a heart attack, and a disease that the doctor say can't be cured, and it won't no AIDS. Just to let y'all know that I don't disobey Allah to engage into sexual activities that's not lawful to Allah. It was called Crohn's disease, almost like this right here, corona. It may be a cousin to the corona. They're in the same family. They both diseases, and they both will kill you. But Allah say, this right here, people, Allah say, all of the evil that you see yourself doing and other diseases, ills that's overtaking us as a human race, he said, that evil come from your evil intentions. You know, people don't deal with intent enough. You know, Allah's Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, special, said that Allah say he will raise us up on the day of resurrection and judgment based on our intentions in this world. And Allah means what he say. Now, why did Allah not say, I will raise people up based on their deeds in this world? Because Allah say, out of every 1,000 human beings he created, on the day of judgment, Allah say this. His prophet Muhammad taught us this. Allah said it to him. He say there's going to be only one human being to make it to heaven after they are judged. All the people are judged, and the other 999 going in straight into the hellfire. It was asked by the believers to Allah, why is this our Lord? And Allah say, first of all, they prayed. They done a lot of good deeds. They read the Quran. They taught the Quran. They told people about me. And they did so much good that good seemed like a mountain of good to me. But he said that the only reason they're going to be taken and thrown into the hellfire, is because all of the good deeds they did and the good things they did to help people, they didn't do them things to please me, to glorify me. They done it that they may please themselves and get people to talk good about them and glorify them. So, people, it's very important that you understand that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said every bid'ah, innovation, every time we innovate something into the way of life that Allah chose for us, which is Islam, we go astray from Islam, from heaven, and we enter the hellfire. So you should take this serious, people, because life is short. Me and Brother Larry, we are just in our sixties, and I can remember, seemed like maybe 10 years ago, we was in our forties. I'm saying Allah is speeding up time so much now, and there's so many people dying now faster than I ever seen in my few little 60-some years. So people, even if you don't believe in the day of resurrection and judgment, well, you're going to be accountable for your deeds, what you did here, why take that chance? Because people, I'm saying to you, the worstest person or the baddest person on the planet now do not want to go to the hellfire. And I'm going to say this and conclude with this. This is a true story during the life of the Prophet Muhammad. Special prayers and mercy and peace be upon him. It was this man who killed. He was a killer. He killed 99 people. And he went to a Muslim leader, And he asked the Muslim leader, say, do you think that Allah will forgive me? I don't kill 99 people now, but do you think it's a possibility he might give me? And that before thinking about the Quran and what Allah say, the Muslim leader say, no, you're crazy. Something to this effect, you're out of your mind. You're a madman. You're going straight to hellfire. And so the man said, well, since he turned to Islam last, she said, I ain't got no other way to get there, and I'm coming to you, Muslim. He said, I might as well kill you too. So he killed the Muslim leader. And as he was journeying on, he still felt that he could be forgiven for killing all them people. And guess what? As he was journeying on, Allah sent the he died. And Allah sent the angels of death to take his soul. He sent two angels, one to take the soul of the good people and one to take the soul of the evildoers in this world, the rejecters of faith in Allah. And they were debating on whose soul that was. And so the soul, the angel that's take the soul of bad people say, come on now. He didn't kill all them people, and Allah forbid killing his people. You know he's going to hell for that. He's going to hell. And the other angels say, well, let's look at it another way. Me and you, we just work for Allah. Let's go back to the old knowing Allah and see what Allah say about this. That's the proper thing to do. So they went back to Allah, the angels, and asked Allah, say, who should take that soul? And Allah responded to them and said, I'm going to shift the earth, which means he shifted the earth, made it move, turn. And he said, now go back and measure the distance that man who killed 100 people was when he was trying to seek my mercy, my grace, to save himself from killing people and sinning like that and trying to repent and come back to me from the distance he was back when he was killing people. And the distance was closer to the man coming seeking repentance and changing his life from being a killer and to being a servant of Allah. And guess what? Allah forgave that man and granted him paradise. So we see a lot of things here happening, people, and we should always rely on the knowledge of Allah because Allah's the all-knowing. We should never rely on our opinions. And as Muslims and Christians or whatever, don't ever tell nobody they can't be forgiven because Allah says in the Quran he forgives all sin. All sin, even the sin that most Muslim leaders would tell you, and they write that Allah won't forgive us in the Quran. It's shirk. That is the worship of anything Allah created as a God with Allah. And then even Prophet Muhammad said to us, the last prophet, that Allah say, if you're ignorant and you're doing this, practicing shirk, and you find out the truth that he's the only creator, unseen and eternal, and you worship him, start worshiping Allah and Allah alone, he'll forgive you even of that. See how merciful our Creator is? So nobody have no excuse, nobody, to be out here running around like a chicken with his head cut off, talking about some corona disease. It's all kinds of diseases out here, but Allah said all the diseases that happen to us come from the diseases in our heart, where we want to do what we want to do. And Allah said all the evil that happens to people come from themselves. And Allah said, all the good that happens to us come from Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Imam, thank you for that answer to that question. Alhamdulillah. I wanted to take this opportunity. Of course, this is the Imam Shahid Shabazz broadcast of the reality of the Creator. I'm your co-host, Abdul Kareem, and today's title for Imam Shabazz's show is that most people fear death because of their evil. Most people fear death because they know they have evil, and they know that there's some accountability for that, which actually is a plus, because when you know that there's accountability, sometimes that lessens the evil that you're capable of. And when you don't think that there's accountability, you can just kind of run wild. So knowing is half the battle. It's what you do with that knowledge of knowing is the other half of the battle. And of course, your closeness to your Lord is of the utmost importance. Your closeness to what we call this dunya or this worldly life, or your closeness to the people, or your closeness to those things don't matter as much as your nearness that you're trying to achieve towards your Creator, getting close to the Lord of the heavens and the earth. As Abraham said, "My Lord makes the sun rise from the east and set in the west." You know, if you're trying to get close to something that to anything else than the Creator, because only the Creator can do that or change that, then you know, you're getting close to something else, and you're not going to get reward from that thing on the day of judgment. But Imam, you mentioned about intentions, and there's a particular hadith from Imam Nawawi, which is a very popular imam who passed, you know, hundreds of years ago. But he wrote a book, The 40 Hadith, and one of his hadith is all about those intentions. And and he says in his book, this is a hadith from Ibn Abbas. He narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily, Allah Ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, has written down the good deeds and the evil deeds." And then he explained it by saying, "Whosoever intends," this is just on your intentions, "whosoever intends to perform a good deed, but did not do that good deed, then Allah writes it down for himself as a complete good deed." So this person just intended to do a good deed. He didn't even do it, or she didn't even do it, and Allah writes it down as a completed good deed. And if he intends to perform it, then did perform that good deed, then Allah writes it down with himself as far as from 10 up to 700 times the good deed multiplied.
That's right.
So intending to do it and not doing it is a good deed. Intending to do it and doing it starts at 10 up to 700 or more times that Allah multiplies that for that person, man, woman, or child, as a good deed. And that just tells you how important your intentions are when you're trying to do a good deed. Just intending to do something to please Allah gets multiplied, or please God gets multiplied many, many times just for the intention.
Absolutely.
So that's why your intentions are so important, and you say that often, are so important, because that same good deed that you can get them multiple rewards for, if you intend to do it to show off, or you intend to do it to please the people, or you intend to do it, you know, for some worldly reason, you're missing out on blessings just because of your intentions. And on the other side of the coin, Allah says, then Allah writes it down to himself from 10 to 700 times. And if he intends to perform an evil deed but did not do it, this is now you pissed off, you upset at something, and you intend to do an evil deed, or just for whatever reason, you just intend to do an evil deed, right? And you do not do that evil deed. You don't do it. Allah writes that evil deed down as a completed good deed.
That's right.
This is just based on intentions. So I am, for whatever reason, intending on doing something evil, and I don't do it. That gets written down for me as a good deed. So how merciful is your Lord that he is stretching? That's why you say you take a step towards Allah, take a step towards God, and he'll take, you know, 20 steps, 100 steps towards you. You move a hand span, he moves an arm length towards you. You come walking, Allah comes running. So you intend to do an evil deed and you don't do it, that gets written down as a good deed. And if you intend on an evil deed and you complete that evil deed, that gets written down as one evil deed.
That's right.
Allah writes that down as one evil deed. And we all know, especially as Muslims, that you could repent depending on the level of that evil deed, you can make istighfar, which is, you know, you just ask Allah for forgiveness, or you can make tawbah, which is a formal prayer, two rakats, where you ask Allah for forgiveness, and that deed might get wiped out and removed completely from your book, and may not even be on your book. And they say if you do that within 4 hours of the sin, it may not even be show up on your book, on your record. Where if you wait after that time, it'll show up, it'll be crossed out, where you still might have to answer for that. So indeed, your intentions are very important. When we do a deed, we have to make the best intentions that we can, that we're pleasing Allah and not, you know, anything or anyone else and any other people. And when we do that, we're going to be rewarded greatly for it. And this is all by the permission of Allah. So I just wanted to mention that. Of course, we're listening to The Reality of the Creator. This blog talk radio show title is Most People Fear Death Because of Their Evil. And our host is Imam Shahid Shabazz, who is on. And maybe I can check and see. There's another caller there here that I might know. Let me just click in and see if that person has a comment. I think I know this phone number pretty well. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from? No comment. Okay, this is the phone number ends with 2678. Okay, they have no comment. That's fine. We'll put them back on hold. And I think this other one may be your wife, Imam, but I'm going to just check. Is that the one that ends in 2640?
Yes.
Okay, so then I won't press on that one. But I do want to check back with Sister Isla, if she's there, just to give salams and see if she has anything to say or if she just is continuing listening, because I think everybody's very happy to know that she's out there. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Did you have any comments on anything? Are you still there?
I did. I was listening to you talking about the beliefs and their intentions. And that reminded me that you hear people saying that how much wrong things that they did wrong in their life, you know, and they're older now. They say, you know, I did wrong in my life, you know, and I regret it. Now, some of the things I did, I know I really shouldn't have done. And I regret it. So I was saying, do they need to really, in the sense that they regret it? Is that enough, or do they need to seek their Lord, their Creator, and ask His forgiveness for what they've done?
Alhamdulillah. Did you want to take that question, Imam, or did you want me to comment on that?
I want to take that, brother, because it's so important. First of all, you know, we're glad to have you on, Sister Isla, and Allah's taking care of you like He is. Would you repeat that for me one more time?
I have heard people say that they, in their lifetime, if they've done things they truly regret, I did so-and-so in my life. But, you know, at that time, you know, I wasn't thinking of it, so, you know, I didn't know. So I really regret doing some of the things that I did in my life now. So when you hear somebody say that, do they need to, in order to be forgiven, do they need to say that to their Creator, go to Him and ask forgiveness, or is it that He knows what's in their heart and He will forgive them?
Right, I got you now clear. Absolutely not. He will not forgive them just by the saying the words. This is an ayat in the Holy Quran where Almighty Allah says about the forgiveness you're talking about. Allah says in the Holy Quran, whosoever, meaning he or she, man or woman, who turns to Him with repentance and they change their actions from their sins. He say they have truly turned to Him with an acceptable conversion, meaning that He automatically forgives them when they come to Him and ask forgiveness and stop doing it. Committing the sin they're committing, He automatically forgives them only if they do that. Only if they do that.
All right, thank
because
you.
Because Allah say actions are but by intention. So, you know, it's no way. You got a lot of people who say, I ask for forgiveness. But if they ask for forgiveness and they keep doing wrong, there's something wrong with their picture. Because Allah only accepts sincere repentance. And if a person is sincere in their repentance to Allah, then they're going to change back from the sin back to the goodness of Allah, the righteousness of Allah. So Allah say, whosoever turns to him with repentance, sincere repentance, have and change their life from that wrong they're doing to right, his righteousness, they have indeed turned to him with an acceptable conversion, or he accepts that automatically because he know they didn't have intentions to do that evil. Because if people that have intentions to do evil, they don't repent, sister. They don't repent. They do not repent. Allah say this. People who don't have intentions to obey Allah, they even when they if they you hear them repentance, Allah say it ain't the repentance that count. Like me and the man been emphasizing, he say it's your intentions. And Allah say actions are but by intention. So if you want Allah to forgive you, you got to not only say it, but you got to show him in your actions.
That's right.
And the intentions in your heart that I done changed by living a good life and turning away from what? The bad life you were living. And he said he automatically forgives you when you do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater.
Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. You are listening, of course, to the Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. That was a question from our sister Isla. These questions are for everybody, to the listeners, to the speakers, to everybody, because, thinking that you know the answer, the cure to not knowing is a question. The cure to not knowing is a question. And when you ask a question, it just, other people may have that question. And we know as Muslims, we repent to Allah. We repent to the creator of the heaven and earth. So we can do it. You can do it right there from the room or the chair that you're sitting in, or if you're standing up, or the car that you're driving in. You could ask Allah to forgive you right there. Of course, it's called istighfar, the smaller where you just ask, oh, Allah, forgive me. And as Muslims, we're always saying, astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah, inshallah. We're always mentioning Allah so that Allah's name is always present for us. But the bigger sins, if we're committing them for whatever reason, the bigger sins, like the Imam mentioned, taking a life, or illegal intercourse with someone who's not, you're not married to, or, any of those major sins, you have to go pray 2 rakats and ask Allah to forgive you. So this is still something that you're doing privately between you and your Lord. And like the Imam mentioned, when you leave those sins alone, that's how Imam at the masjid, Imam Khalid always says, that your repentance has been accepted when you're able to leave those sins alone.
That's right.
When you're able to leave those sins alone, that's when you know it's been accepted. If you ask for forgiveness, you're still doing the right thing, even if you go out and commit that sin again tomorrow or tonight or within an hour. You did the right thing by asking Allah to forgive you. But you know that Allah has forgiven you when you let that go. When you let those evil deeds go, when you're able to stop sleeping around, stop stealing, stop killing, stop selling, stop clicking on that tab on the computer that puts you on that website that you're not supposed to be on. When you're able that out, that's when you know that Allah has forgiven you. And all these sins, I know there's hadith about it, and I tried to find it. I couldn't find the exact one, but they put little black dots on your heart. And when your repentance is forgiven, is accepted, and you start to do good deeds to replace that evil that you used to do, which is something we should all try to do, is replace our evil with some good, some increase.
That's right.
That polishes your heart. and takes that black dot off of your heart. Because if you continue,
yes,
you get so many of those black dots, your heart becomes black. And when you get all those black dots on your heart, you know, it's easier for you to do evil than it is for you to do good. So we as Muslims, we try to polish our act, polish your heart by first stopping that, asking Allah to forgive you, and stopping to do those evil deeds, and then adding some good deeds to the mix of what you're already doing that's good, because you're already doing something that's good, because you're already saying there's only one God. So you're already doing something that's good. You can't be all bad. that hadith of that man who killed 100 people, he's still not all bad. You killed 100 people and you still not all bad. You saying that there's only one God, you've got to be doing. There's good in you. No doubt.
That's right.
You know, so once you ask Allah to forgive you and start doing more good deeds, you polish up that heart and take those black spots, little spots that are on your heart every time you do an evil deed. And Allah accepts your repentance. And then he starts giving you 700 to 1 for your good deeds. So now that one evil deed, that one black dot, don't stand a chance, because it's just written down as one deed, because your intentions are so sincerely for Allah that one good deed you did 700 times erased that black dot. So it don't stand a chance anymore. You know, so we are never, as Muslims, we are never thinking that Allah won't forgive us. We know that we can stop it and turn it around today, right now, if we wanted to. And we ask Allah to forgive us. And if we do it sincerely with the correct intentions, Allah will forgive us. And all those spots on our hearts are stains. And I said black stains, but just stains on our hearts, because we don't want to always keep going to black as being something negative. But all those stains on your heart will go away, and polish your heart, and Allah will forgive you. And your good deeds will so out-multiply that Allah will get nearer and nearer to you until he tells the angels, I love this person. So tell the rest of the world that I love this person. Alhamdulillah, I just wanted to say that. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shahid Shabazz, and put you back on. See if there's more wisdom that you wanted to share, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Abdul, Imam Abdul Kareem. That was very beautiful. What you said about the heart, and I understand from the majority of our learned Islamic scholars that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did say that that Allah would put black spots on your heart every time you commit a sin. So it ain't got nothing to do with terminology. We speak in the terminology, so. Black, that don't mean black is evil. It means that you are in ignorance. When you commit these sins, you are in ignorance of your Creator and the life He wants you to live. So when you turn, I want to say this, because this is very important for this corona and everything else, diseases. Allah says to His Prophet Muhammad to teach us, that when you do a good deed with the right intentions to please Allah, and you feel good about what you just did, that good, and you had good intentions to do it, and then when you do evil and you intended to do that evil deed, Allah say, and the evil deed make you feel bad, then Allah said, you know you're a true believer in Him. So there again, everybody got a conscience and everybody got a heart. And to tell nobody when they do wrong, because Allah created the very nature in us to distinguish right from wrong, and then gave us another head start on evil by giving us what? A good nature. So everybody know what good is, and everybody know what evil is. And Allah says that, He will only forgive us, and He will only accept our repentance. Again, I want to reiterate, if it's sincere, like the Imam said, and you repent, you don't only get one blessing reward from Allah. He gives you 10 to 700 times, or as the Prophet Muhammad said, so many times you can't even count it. So we have a creator that don't want to see us destroy ourselves. But he give us the freedom, a little freedom of will to choose right from wrong. And as the Imam said earlier, Allah say this whole world and everything in it is an illusion, is a deceiver. You see, that's why Allah said we should keep our hearts in repentance and stay in dhikr. Dhikr means in Arabic the remembrance of our Creator. Like the brother said, just praise Him all the time. We don't just pray five times a day. We pray five times a day as Muslims are going through rituals, but we know that them rituals covers our whole day, every day. We start praying in the morning before sunrise. And we remember our Creator by doing good and living a good life until sunset, till we get ready to go to bed. So that's a counter. There's a whole day for you in prayer. See, prayer is remembrance of Allah, because I'm going to say this. Allah say those who call themselves praying to Him and they get up after they pray and go do wrong, He say they don't get closer to Him. They go farther away from Him into the hellfire. So be careful, people. And Allah say again, He ain't going to change no corona disease, AIDS, or any other disease. Allah didn't change my disease, Crohn's disease, except that He knew I repented sincerely, and I still had to suffer with it for about 25 years before He removed it. But in that time, I kept on, stayed in the heart with repentance and doing good. And lots of people who know me, they know this. And I kept coming out in the street trying to remind other people of their Creator, our Creator Allah, and to turn away from their evil before their evil destroys them. Because in my conclusion at this time, Allah say, the Creator say, sin can reach a stage, a point in a person's life that he will close the doors of forgiveness on you. He won't forgive you no more. You don't want to get to that point, people. But it looks
10 seconds, ma'am. Close in, out, inshallah. 10 seconds.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, with that time. All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for listening to the Shahid Shabazz radio show.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
Want you to hear me say,
but there's no time,
no,
like the
present, no time
to give love,
to give love
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our difference, always be something.
There'll always be something.
You know, each soul has its own goal, but to Him we all must be.
So
why don't you give love?
Daddy.
Yes, baby.
We have lots of